Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Friday after the draft show. This is the Herd live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. It is great to have you in today. Joy Taylor is joining me for what last night was just nothing but bugles, fun, coasters, drinks, dog, me, draft, and having the best time of my life texting scouts and executives all night. As fun as the world gets for me last night. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. So you did use the coasters?
Or
you
didn't know coasters? No coasters. Sloppy house. Wife was gone. It was great. Had so much fun. I could blast the New York Giants today. They took a quarterback at number 6, who I do not think is good enough to be a quarterback at number 6. And I'm listening driving in today, and everybody is saying, well, the only reason they drafted Duke quarterback Daniel Jones is because the Duke coach is friends with Peyton and Eli Manning, and that is true. That is not why I'm going to blast the New York Giants. I don't have a problem listening to Peyton Manning ever. Peyton Manning is smart. If Peyton Manning tells you to do something, Bill Belichick would listen. I mean, every smart coach, Bill Walsh would have listened to Peyton Manning. The late Bill Walsh, if Joe Montana would have talked back then. All great coaches. Andy Reid would listen to Peyton Manning. Sean Payton would listen to Peyton Manning. The best coaches ever would listen to Peyton Manning. So if Peyton Manning calls and says, draft him, I'm not going to beat you up for that. And this kid does play a little bit like Eli Manning, and he's given you 2 Super Bowls. So I'm not going to bang on the Manning family for this draft pick. Urban Meyer, Bill Belichick's friend. Nick Saban, Belichick's friend. He relies on his friends all the time. Friends, you listen to him in life. I'm not going to bash the Mannings for the Daniel Jones pick. Here's what I don't like. And it's not even just specific to this kid who I don't think is a high first-round pick, is that life sometimes gives you breaks. When I lived in Portland, Oregon, beautiful summers, wet winters and springs. But occasionally, in the spring, you get a week of sunny weather. You know what you did? Got outside. When the surf's up, bruh, grab your board. It's not always up. Last year, the NFL gave you a break. It was a quarterback year. So the teams that needed a quarterback, the Giants, last year you take a quarterback. You had like 4 really good prospects. Baltimore didn't even urgently need one. They took one. Buffalo moved up. Jets took one. Cleveland took one. Cleveland had taken a bunch of quarterbacks. They're like, we can't pass on this. The NFL gave you a break. The Giants needed a quarterback, and they passed. This year, the NFL draft gave you a break. They needed an edge rusher, and it was a very rare year where there was a bunch of edge rushers in the top 6 picks. And take advantage of it again. Listen, man, when you live in a wet city and you get a break in the spring and it's sunny for a week, get outside, go for a walk, go for a jog. You don't get breaks like that. And another mistake, this draft today is actually the better day. This is not a draft with a bunch of great players, 7 or 8. It is a draft. Tonight's the 2nd and 3rd round. All the smart teams, the Colts, moved their picks to today. The Patriots got picks today. The Seahawks moved out. Picks today. This is a draft today for all the real smart guys in the league is where you'll want to be. What did the Giants do? 3 picks in the first round. What the hell are you doing? You don't want 3 picks yesterday. The Raiders had it. The Giants had it. What you want is picks today, because this draft had a bunch of good players, very few great players. I mean, Nick Bosa is a great player. Quinnen Williams, a great player. Kyler Murray could be a great player. Josh Allen, Ed Oliver. You're looking at guys who could be, Andre Dillard, could be great players. Today, 70 really good players, 80. So that's don't blame the Mannings. That's what drives me nuts. 3 other issues. Dave Gettleman said when he drafted Daniel Jones, he could sit for years. Really? Who uses a number 6 pick when you need all sorts of defensive help? Pick an offensive guy to sit. You're paying him like $25 million. You need guys who can play. You watch Carson Wentz? You watch the Cowboys' offensive threats, you may need a pass rusher. I just don't like the idea, number one, of Dave Gettleman saying, yeah, we picked a guy at six, we'll pay him a bunch, not play him for 2 years. Okay, good division, I don't like it. Secondly, MetLife Stadium is windy. Philadelphia on the road is windy. Washington, D.C. is cold and windy. You ever seen that Philadelphia Stadium? It's by a river. Potomac in D.C., cold, wet, windy. The Hudson, windy, cold, rainy, wet, winter. This guy's got an average arm. His best comp, the guy he most looks like in the NFL, is Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan went to a prep school, not highly recruited, went to Boston College, average arm. But Atlanta liked him because he could play indoors eight times a year, indoors in New Orleans, in Carolina and Tampa are warm weather cities. So Matt Ryan wins 2 out of 3 games in warm weather, indoors, dome. You know what his record is outdoors? 500. You know what Matt Ryan's record is in like bad weather? Under 500. So I don't even like the fit here. And the third thing is, Dave Gettleman said several times, the GM of the Giants is, hey, you do not draft for need. You just draft best player available. So you're telling me that Daniel Jones is the sixth best player in the draft? Come on, bruh. Sam Darnold, he was sixth best player in last year's draft. Daniel Jones is not the sixth best player, so now you're a hypocrite. You're saying one thing and doing another. I'm not bagging on him for the Manning connection. I'm not going to do that because this league is about connections. Andy Reid's tree and Belichick and you know, the late Bill Walsh and Parcells and Bill Polians and the steward, Sean Payton and Belichick, and they've all got trees. And you're always talking and trusting a handful of guys. That's okay. The Manning connection doesn't bother me. If Peyton Manning calls Dave Gettleman and said, I've had this kid at my camp 2 years, I really like him. And he's the kind of kid, he reminds me a little of Eli, although I do not think he has Eli Manning's arm talent, Eli's first 7-8 years in the league. I thought Eli had a really nice gun, a really nice arm. But, man, life just doesn't give you breaks like this. The draft gave you a huge break last year. You needed a quarterback, and there was a bunch of good ones up top. And the draft this year, you needed a defensive end. It gave you a huge break. There was a bunch of them up top. You didn't take them. And then this year, the value's all today, and you don't have many today picks. But you had three, you move up to get into this round. I don't think they know what they're doing. They have one pick tonight, third round, 95th overall. Traded 2 second-round picks last night to move back into the first to take a corner. Who moved to the second, third round? Who moved to tonight? Colts. Chris Ballard, arguably best GM in the sport. Seattle, John Schneider, Pete Carroll, Super Bowl, know what they're doing. Patriots already have a bunch tonight. All right, let me shift to this. I want to talk about the Packers. So I said this over the course of the last couple weeks, that Green Bay knew 2 years ago they were going to pay Aaron Rodgers a bunch of money. Seattle kind of got caught off guard with Russell Wilson demanding money, and here's the date. But Green Bay knew a couple years ago, we got to pay Aaron a ton. And so Green Bay smartly started drafting all sorts of defensive players. Let's get cheap and expensive on the defensive side because we're going to pay our quarterback $35 million. So I thought, and it's just crazy. So last night, they even doubled down on it, and I thought they may go finally offense. Nope, they went Rashawn Gary, Michigan. Good player, injury concern, but good player. And a great safety out of Maryland, Darnell Savage, who's a big hitter. So now think about this. The last 9 top draft picks by the Packers. And that includes last year's first 3 rounds, 2017's first 4 picks, and last night's top 2 picks, all defense, 9-for-9 defense. And in free agency, 3 of their 4 signings were defense. So of their last 13 top acquisitions, 12 are defense. So Aaron Rodgers, we got you a new offensive coach. He's a hipster. And we've loaded up your defense. It's all over for excuses. Okay? Because there's been 2 excuses the last several years. McCarthy's a dope. All right, we got rid of him. And, you know, defense, Aaron always has to save the team. Those days are over. By the way, there's always been a very weird stat connected to Aaron Rodgers despite his talent. How come he has so few fourth quarter comebacks? Ryan Tannehill has more. Aaron Rodgers only in his career has 14. Isn't that remarkable? Matt Ryan's got 27. Joe Flacco's got 18. Andy Dalton's got 20. Ryan Tannehill's got 15. Aaron Rodgers has 14. What? Well. Last 11 years, that's all he's got. And the excuse has always been, well, I mean, the defense screws him over. They don't have any. That's actually not true. In fact, Green Bay hasn't drafted an offensive player in the first round since 2011. And oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is actually the last offensive skill player drafted by Green Bay in the first round. That's always been a fake excuse. That's always been a phony excuse. The truth is, Aaron Rodgers is not a great come-from-behind quarterback. Matt Ryan's got double the come-from-behind wins, and he has had a great defense. Andy Dalton has always had a great defense. Ryan Tannehill hasn't always had a great defense. But let's stop the excuses for Aaron now. Because the two excuses were, well, yeah, the defense just can't. They have completely, absolutely, 13 of their last 14 high draft picks or free agents of note, except for Billy Turner, the O-lineman, have been defense. And I like a lot of their picks. But don't tell me anymore they don't have good defensive players. Because nobody misses that much. They've got plenty of good defensive players. And the myth that they've never given Aaron any good defensive players, go look at what they've drafted. They draft defense. Always first pick. That's what they do. And so all the excuses now. The McCarthy, done. That we don't have any defense, done. Now, I like what they did. I'm picking them to win their division, but the excuses are now officially over. All in, no subtlety, no nuance. We are just going last three drafts, all defensive players at the top. They're 9 top draftees last three draft. All defense. That's incredible.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There's an old saying, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered, meaning just don't be greedy in life, take profits and run. So the Arizona Cardinals now have 2 quarterbacks. Again, I'm not going to beat them up for taking Kyler Murray. I think you can make an argument with their bad offensive line and Cliff Kingsbury. Kyler Murray makes sense. Not going to beat him up, just like I'm not going to beat the New York Giants up and their GM because of the Peyton Manning-Eli connection. If Peyton called me, I'd listen, okay? If Peyton Manning called and said, I love this guy, that part I'm good with. I'm okay with drafting Kyler Murray. I wouldn't have done it, but I'm okay with it if you think it works with your new coach. But here's a story that came out from Robert Klemko. According to a league source, the Cardinals GM Steve Keim began shopping Rosen in earnest just minutes before the draft. They were seeking a first-round pick in return. No team was going to give up a first-round pick for Rosen. I agree. That's what I've been told. Rosen only found out about the team's intention to draft Kyler Murray moments before the pick. Okay, that's just a bad look. For a general manager, Steve Keim, that's on a hot seat, that is a bad look. It looks frantic. It looks disorganized. So that's the first thing. The second thing is everybody in the NFL knows now you have to get rid of Josh Rosen. You were offered a second-round pick, I know, by 2 NFL teams. 2 I'm not going to mention because I don't want to burn my source. But 1 really good NFL team and 1 okay NFL team offered you a second. Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. Now everybody in the world knows you need to get something out of him. So you have no leverage when you call people. This is why I defended the Pittsburgh Steelers on Antonio Brown. There's an old rule, unless you have a superstar like Michael Jordan in his prime or Kevin Durant, then time is your friend. Time's your ally. Just wait. Let people call you. But when you have an average player, an injured player, a player that's a diva, get him out of the door. Time's your enemy. So the Pittsburgh Steelers with Antonio Brown were like, listen, we've gotten a ton out of him and paid him nothing, mostly. We get 3rd and a 5th round pick, and we get the distraction out of the building. They got him out of the build. That's how you do it. When the Indiana Pacers years ago, Paul George said, I want out. What do? Boom, got him out of the building. Victor Oladipo, Sabonis, got a bunch of value. They didn't want that thing simmering in the press and Paul George belly aching and lowering the leverage. Josh Rosen, you had to get him out. You got greedy on this, and I kept telling you this. is that when a general manager moves up to get a quarterback, they get greedy because they don't want to give him away. They have made a draft mistake, and Arizona probably paid too much. There was never a huge market for Rosen, a guy I like, not as much as I like Sam Darnold, but I like him. I think he's talented. But there's clearly, now that he's been banged up a little in the NFL and college, there's not a ton of market for him. And that's your job as a general manager to know there's not a big market for him, because now you're screwed. Now you pick up the phone and call people. They're like, hey, yeah, it's the Arizona guy. What do you want to give him? Bucket of golf balls, end table, roadmap? There's not, you don't have any leverage. So just don't get greedy. And now the problem is the Giants and the Redskins both needed a quarterback. They've taken care of it. And today there's three more teams. Chargers could use a backup. New England could use a backup. If you don't get it done today before the draft starts, there's three more. I think Cincinnati would like to draft a quarterback to back up Andy Dalton. He's getting up there. So the longer you wait, all the teams that need quarterbacks, you're running out of suitors. You're running out of people. At this point, you take a fourth-round pick, get him out the door. Because Josh Rosen this morning took all his stuff off social media. That's no good. So he's bitter. But I defended completely the Pittsburgh Steelers when they moved off AB. And I said they got two picks. They tend to draft well. They already have good receivers. They got the distraction out of the building. And, oh, by the way, they'd already made a ton off him. They picked him in the sixth round. They got 74 touchdowns out of him. Don't be greedy. Get him out the door. Get a couple picks. Get him out of the room and go on with your business. They should have done this with Rosen a month ago.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
People forget. Not every team goes into this draft with the same mission. Take the L.A. Chargers. They're loaded. They have very few needs. So the L.A. Chargers have two great edge rushers. What they don't have is an interior rush. So they didn't have any interest getting a bunch of picks. They need one or two guys to fill their one or two needs because their roster's loaded. So Jerry Tillery of Notre Dame is exactly what they want, and they got him. Same with Philadelphia. Philadelphia's loaded. They have there's a very good team like the Chargers. They've had more postseason success, but like the Chargers, very few specific needs and very few guys that can actually start for them in this draft. So they move up and get an offensive lineman I love, Andre Dillard, because their offensive line is getting old. So the Chargers stayed in the first round because they had a specific need on a loaded roster. Philadelphia moved up because they have a specific need on an incredibly deep roster. Meanwhile, the Seahawks and the Colts, though even though they made the playoffs, that's just because Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck are amazing, they're both rebuilding. You don't think the Seahawks and the Colts are rebuilding, right? Because they have good teams and good right. No, they're rebuilding. The Colts have six needs. So they got out of the first because one player is not going to solve their issues. They need a bunch of them. So the Colts said, let's get to second and third, and they've got a ton of picks today. Seattle, twice in the last week, says, we don't have really a specific need. We'll trade out of the first round to anybody that will allow us, and they move picks. So teams have different needs. The Seahawks and Colts, although you think they're good, their rosters are pretty average. They just have great quarterbacks. The Colts have Andrew Luck. The Seahawks have Russell Wilson. So what those teams need is four picks today and get four starters or four really early contributors. Chargers need a guy. Eagles need a guy. So let's take New England. And I know what you're thinking. Colin, you said yesterday, I don't like receivers taken in the first round. I don't, generally. The guys that I do like in the first round generally are guys that are grown-ups, adults. Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, that kind of guy, Andre Johnson. A lot of the first-round receivers I would have taken in the first round, they're grown-ups. It's a diva position. You give a lot of money to a diva, it gets ugly. If the guy passes the character test, he's a grown-up. Calvin Johnson's my all-time favorite, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. Okay, then I'll do a first-round pick. So they go out in the draft, the Patriots, and N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, who I watched a ton of because I watch Pac-12 football. My daughter goes to that school. He's a really, really good player. He's not a superstar, but he's a really good player. Now you're saying, Colin, you don't like first-round wide receivers. You probably love this pick. No, New England probably tried to get out of the first round to get more picks for today. I'll talk to Joel Klatt about that, see if he has any information. But it's very clear to see what New England did with this pick. Number one is Bill Belichick trusts his friends. He leans on Urban Meyer, Kirk Ferentz, Nick Saban, and Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards coaches Arizona State. So this is a pick where Bill called a friend, Herm Edwards, and trusted him. Herm and Bill get along very well. Secondly is, let's look at the pattern of what New England's done since Gronk retired. Oh, look at their pattern. Demaryius Thomas, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, and drafted N'Keal Harry. Presence. Big physical players. Austin Seferian-Jenkins, 6'6". Demaryius Thomas is not a vertical weapon. He's a big physical receiver. N'Keal Harry is Anquan Boldin, too. Big, strong hands. Great after the catch. Once Gronk retired, they needed a physical presence. But Colin, N'Keal Harry's not a burner. There's no separation. You watch Gronk the last 3 years? There's also no separation. Brady's a precision thrower. N'Keal Harry runs good routes and can catch the ball like Anquan Boldin in crowds. So I don't love, generally, drafting receivers in the first round. But New England, the Chargers, Philadelphia, good teams generally have very few spots they need filled. And so when those teams move up or stay in the first or go after a specific guy, I'm okay with it. And I think he's a nice fit for what New England does. Brady makes all his receivers better than they would be without Brady. So he was a dominant Pac-12 player, which is not a very good conference anymore. So he's not going up against great players, but he is a great talent. Good teams enter the draft differently than rebuilding teams. And I'll say it again. Chargers, Philadelphia, New England, not a lot of spots to start. They got one or two major weaknesses. New England needs a big physical receiver. Philadelphia needs a great young offensive lineman and a receiver. They'll draft one today. And the Colts need a bunch of players on the defensive side.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Joel Klatt's going to be working the NFL Network main desk tonight with my buddy Daniel Jeremiah and others. Let's go live via the Coward Global Satellite to my buddy Joel Klatt, college football voice on Fox, worked the draft for us. All right, let's start with Daniel Jones. I'm not bothered by the Manning connection because I do think people in this league, they lean on friends and smart people. I just don't think he's a top six player. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This is where we're going to be 100% in lockstep. And really, it's not just the Daniel Jones pick, but it's also Dexter Lawrence. It's also even trading back up to get the corner from Georgia. I thought in every one of those selections, Dave Gettleman overvalued the pick that he was going to make. They could have gotten Daniel Jones at 17. They could have gotten Dexter Lawrence at 37. And they would have gotten a great corner regardless of where they were drafting after that, because this is such a deep corner draft and there's no consensus about where those corners are ranked. But specifically on Daniel Jones, here's my issue with it, is that Daniel Jones, when he faced top defenses in college, he was the lowest rated quarterback of my top eight quarterbacks available in this draft. He was only 59%. He barely threw for 230 yards in those games, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, facing top 25 yards per play defenses. Meanwhile, the guy that they passed on, Dwayne Haskins, Colin, all he did was throw for 62% in those games, 5 of them against top 25 defenses, almost 300 yards per game, 15 touchdowns and 1 interception. It was the wrong pick. I don't know what the Giants are doing. They had a disastrous first round.
Dwayne Haskins, though, it concerns me. Let's talk about that in Washington. So you have a coaching staff on the ropes. They won't be patient. The early schedule is brutal. They have no wide receivers and an old running back. So this is not a team that's going to put up points. He's a local kid. The media will want to see him play. The fans will. I think Dwayne's going to be rushed into activity, and I don't think he's ready. Your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, all those things are true. However, there are some more fits than maybe you're seeing. First of all, I think that the system fits what Dwayne does best, which is he's a mechanic when it comes to that short passing game. That's what we saw Ohio State in particular use against Michigan. Then you've got some coaching connections, and I don't know if you've talked about this at all or heard this, but Kevin O'Connell, the quarterback coach for the Washington Redskins, was a special offensive assistant in 2016 for the San Francisco 49ers under Chip Kelly, and quarterback coach Ryan Day. So he's got a lot of connections there. There's going to be a lot of synergies. I think that the system is going to be very similar to what he used at Ohio State. And because of that, I think he's going to be ready a lot sooner than he would have been if he went somewhere else. So I agree. He might be forced onto the field too soon, but this might be one of the rare places in the league where he's actually going to be ready for that versus another spot.
Kyler Murray and Rosen, I said to start the show, I'm not going to bag on them for getting Kyler Murray. I get it. Cliff Kingsbury feels comfortable. He's your future. I'm not going to criticize it. I do think he's a dynamic player, a little small for me, but I'm good. My bigger issue is when you got a Josh Rosen, and don't tell me you just made your mind up an hour before the draft, get him out of the building. This is a mess now. What happened? What's happening with that?
I totally agree. For whatever reason, first of all, I thought he should have been moved before the pick was made. I thought that's when they would have gotten the most value for Josh Rosen. First of all, look at his contract. I mean, they already paid him the bonus, so you're basically trading around a first-round draft talent for $6 million over 3 years. It's an incredible bargain from a financial standpoint for his next team. But as soon as they made the pick, they thought the market would materialize after that. It never did. They've been waiting for the first round offer. It has not come. They started late, Colin, after pick about 2021 started coming off the board. They started saying, okay, two and change. Give us two and a kicker, a third rounder next year. It hasn't come yet. So now they're sitting there and they're basically down to one trade partner, and that's the Miami Dolphins. And they're begging them for a little extra than a second round pick. And Miami is holding all the cards saying, we want him, but we know we don't have to give up the cupboard to get him.
Wow. Miami didn't have leverage much in this league. There you go for Miami. Good for Miami. I'm not a big believer in first-round wide receivers. There have been exceptions. I thought Calvin Johnson, I would have picked number one. Andre Johnson. Generally, sure. It's a diva position. If a kid shows me he's mature, Calvin and Larry are like, could be the logo of the league, then I'm all in. But when the Patriots take a wide receiver, my audience is like, oh, Cowherd, in your face, you hate receivers. And my takeaway is when Gronk left, New England needed a physical presence. And that's what N'Keal Harry is. He's a Anquan Boldin. So I don't love receivers in the first round. What did you make of the pick?
Okay, so think about what Gronk really was as a pass-catching target. I know he worked the seam really well as a tight end, and certainly that catch in the Super Bowl was evidence of that. But what was he really on third down? He was a one-on-one threat outside the numbers. And Tom Brady would utilize that as kind of that back shoulder, third downs, red zone type of target. That's exactly the type of target that N'Keal Harry is. Yeah. That's where he excels. One-on-one, back shoulder, contested catches, outside the numbers and in the red zone. And that's what I think they're trying to replace in part with Gronkowski. A little more to this, though, Colin. I don't think they valued him necessarily as a first rounder. They were trying really hard to move out of that slot, that 32nd slot, and move back into the draft. But here's the problem. They have 5 picks today already. They have 12 in this draft. That's the most of any team in the National Football League. And guess what? No trade partners materialize because everybody in the league is sitting there saying, well, they're just going to draft really good players and beat us with them. Why would we give them more ammunition by loading the New England Patriots up with picks? So the reason they couldn't move out is because everyone sat there and thought, we're not going to give you guys extra ammunition. So no, you've got to take the pick at 32. And because of that, they went with the guy that was best suited for them. They've got a good roster. They're going to compete late into the playoffs. What do they need? Third down help now and red zone help. Guess what they got? A wide receiver that could do those two things.
By the way, Steelers moved up to get Devin Bush. And I thought what they were saying was with Cleveland's running backs, with the Baltimore Ravens running attack, I thought Pittsburgh drafted for their rivals. They said, listen, we got Dupree.
Yeah.
We got TJ Watt. We better have linebackers for the next 4 years with Lamar and Mark Ingram and Baker and Nick Chubb. So I didn't mind what the Steelers did. I think they kind of drafted to face their rivals. What did you make of it?
Couldn't agree more. And the entire process leading up, as soon as about noon yesterday hit here Central Time, we started hearing that Pittsburgh wanted one of the two linebackers, Devin White from LSU or Devin Bush from Michigan, and it didn't matter which one. To your point, they were playing and building for their division. I agree 1,000%. They saw an opportunity at 10 with Denver. Now, a little insight on Denver. Vic Fangio was not sold on Devin Bush. The brass was, Fangio wasn't, so they decided, well, you know what? We've got more holes to fill. Why don't we move back? We'll trade with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was happy to jump up there and get one of the two guys that they targeted the entire day. So now Devin Bush is a Pittsburgh Steeler. And quite candidly, I thought that was one of the best fits of the entire first round. Not only because of what you said, but just mentality-wise. He's going to fit great in a Steelers uniform.
Good stuff. Joel Klatt working the NFL Network desk tonight with Daniel Jeremiah, Rich Eisen, Charles Davis. Good stuff, buddy. Rounds two and three are packed. All sorts of good players. Thanks, Joel.
You bet. Thanks, bud.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, I say it often, baseball needs as much personality as it can get. NBA guys, NFL guys, I want to see baseball guys in commercials. So last weekend there was a great story. I'm watching it kind of unfold where the Pirates had a shortstop and an outfielder run into each other and get hurt. And so the Pirates are jammed, and so they call their minor league team and they're like, hey, bring Cole Tucker up. He was a very high pick. He's bounced around the minors for a couple years. So they bring this good-looking kid full of hair up, Cole Tucker, and his parents are in the stands, and here's his first at bat.
2-2 to center field. Pilar going back, still going back. Pilar looks up. That one's gone. His first big league hit, a two-run homer. What a moment here for Cole Tucker. Wow. Are you kidding me? This is right out of The Natural. The guy stepped out of the box because there was a flash of lightning right before the pitch, and then he provided the thunder himself.
Let's bring him in. Cole Tucker of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Yes. You are nothing but a good-looking kid. Hair. By the way, you're getting a lot of crud because of your hair, aren't you?
Yeah, a ton. But thank you for having me. It's so cool to be here. I'm a huge fan.
Well, you and your dad, you said, I got a text. I don't know how we connected. Was it you DM me, I DM you? Or, no, I think I actually started following you.
Yeah, so I saw you followed me, and I was like, well, I'm in the big leagues. I'm going to shoot my shot here. And I DM'd you, and you said, hey, like, we're in L.A. this weekend. Let's link up. So I'm here, and it's unbelievable.
In the NFL or the NBA, you get drafted, you're a star. You were a first-round pick, but you go through the minor league system. And I've often said I understand a young kid saying, man, I don't want to go play in Appleton, Wisconsin for 6 years. So despite the fact you are now a very talked-about player, you were in the minors for, what, 4.5 years?
Yeah. So it is a grueling process. I totally agree and understand. I mean, I've always had the dream of playing in the big leagues, and it's always all I've ever wanted to do. So I was chomping the bit to get in the minor leagues just because I know what comes with that and what can happen at the end. And but it was a long journey, you know, injuries along the way and just the lifestyle. I was a first round pick, so I was super lucky. So my experience was different than a lot of other people's, but just super lucky and fortunate to get through it and to get to the big leagues and be experiencing all this now.
So your parents, I imagine your parents, you got a call up. So you're basically preparing for a minor league baseball game.
Yeah.
And the manager comes to you and says what?
So I got called at 1 a.m. after a game in Indianapolis and got the call. I saw the phone. I saw it was my manager, Espo. And I was like, dude, don't mess with me. Because in AAA, you get a call from your manager in the middle of the night. You're expecting to go to the big leagues, you know. So I was freaking out. And I was in the lineup the next day, you know, you just pick up your life. It was 1 a.m. I had to be at the airport at 5 a.m. I was in the lineup the next day in the big leagues playing the Giants.
My God.
It happened so fast.
So your
man.
Parents, you protected your parents right then, right?
Yeah. So my mom just happened to show up that day in Indy and she was visiting me. But I texted my dad. And I called my dad and I was like, hey man, what are you up to? He's like, man, just watching the Pirates game. I was like, yeah, you're gonna be watching the Pirates game tomorrow at PNC Park in the big leagues because I'm in the lineup. And he got on a plane and it was nuts.
So he had just arrived a couple hours before the game. Here's your parents in the stands watching your home run. Let's roll the tape.
All I wanted him to do was barrel the ball, anything that he could do to barrel it, just to kind of get comfortable with what he's doing here. That's all I wanted. That was just crazy. And I'm usually pretty composed, but I lost it pretty good.
She's usually composed, and I'm usually the one that's going crazy. Well, both of us went crazy because it's been a long day. We got up at 11 o'clock last night.
Midnight.
And I haven't slept. So we got from Phoenix. I got here at 3:15. Game time was 4:05.
You know, it's funny. Baseball, Bryce Harper's gotten some pushback. I mean, you look like somebody that would get an endorsement. Good looking, a lot of hair, a lot of flair. Baseball's got this thing that kind of drives me nuts. I want energy. When I was a kid growing up, I loved Pete Rose. I liked Al Roboski. I liked the Aussie flip. I like Mickey Rivers. Some of these are too old. Mark Fidrich. I like the crazy guys.
Oh, yeah, the bird.
Mark the Bird Fidrich.
Yeah.
I liked all the crazy guys. Baseball now has kind of pushed back on the personality. When you get excited, any pushback from anybody? Because the hair and the fun, I want you to take your helmet off. I want Bryce Harper. I want to see him. Any pushback?
No pushback. I mean, I feel like the sentiment is to respect the game. There's the respect the game group, and there's the let the kids play group. You know,
you've heard this.
And I think it's all about playing the game the right way. I play the game with a ton of energy and a ton of hustle. And I feel like if you do that, you can do whatever you want in that instance. Obviously, it's all about respecting the game. And no one's bigger than the game. Cole Tucker, Bryce Harper, Mark Fidrich, anybody. It's about playing the game the right way. And I play the game the right way. I play hard and with a ton of energy and just try to go out and help my team win. And at the end of the day, if you do that, man, the bat flips and the running around and the hair and the crazy slides, like that's just a part of the game. And that's what makes people come out to the ballpark and root for us and buy our jerseys and cheer us on.
Dodger Stadium tonight. That's a great ball club, by the way.
Yeah, they're
one good. Through seven. This guy's rake. That lineup is fantastic. Now, I imagine your first at bat. I can't remember my first radio show. I would have been full of anxiety. Your first at bat, your first time at Dodger Stadium, how do you not get nervous?
Man, you do, but it's because you care. Like, you do get nervous. I got nervous walking up here on stage because I didn't want to trip, and I want to make a good impression, and I want to do well. You do get nervous, and that's a part of it, you know? But that's great, you know? I'm going to perform better because I'm nervous, because I care, you know? If I didn't get nervous, I'm in the wrong business. I'm doing the wrong thing, you know? I am going to be nervous. It's going to be exciting. It's more excitement than nerves, but it's because I care and I want to go out and do well, and it's because I want to go out and win.
Now, for the record, they like me in Pittsburgh. A lot of cities don't like me. I know you're an Arizona Cardinal football fan. You look like athletically you could have played receiver, quarterback a little bit.
I didn't, but I probably should have. Looking back in my childhood, I wish I had played football. But yeah, I mean, I'm a speedy, tall guy. I probably should have.
Okay, Pittsburgh is one of, if not the greatest NFL city.
No doubt.
So they're going to love you, but they're going to love you way more if you're a Steeler fan. So I'm just going to give you a heads up. They've got a big star there named Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a USC kid.
Yeah.
So there's got a little West Coast connection they love.
Yeah.
I want to play another little bit. You were on the MLB Network. This is Cole Tucker last week, who's kind of become a sensation in Major League Baseball. Play this tape.
Guys all over the league have just been really cool, man. Archer's here, and he's tight with David Price, obviously. David Price reached out and was like, hey, I'm a big fan. So that was awesome. I spoke with Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports guy, so that's really, really cool. I've got friends all over the league who just reached out. Cody Bellinger's one of my best friends. Scott Kingery's one of my best friends. So just picking their brains and trying to find out how to navigate this big league lifestyle and this game, they've been a huge help with that.
You know, you're a great story, because one of the things that I get really emotional about it, like the NFL draft, like you change kids' lives.
Yeah.
Literally, kids grow up in most America's middle class, slightly below or slightly above, and it changes your life. So the draft happened yesterday and today. Do you remember the Major League Baseball draft? You were a very good player. I think you were picked 24th.
24th overall.
So let's go to the baseball draft. Was it emotional for you?
Oh, my God, man. It was unbelievable. And I opted to stay home and not go to the draft just because, I mean, you don't want to be that kid who's sitting there waiting and falling and sliding. I didn't want to be Brady Quinn, essentially, and just sit there and wait. And I had all my family and friends over, all my loved ones at the house. And I found out at pick 22 that I was going to go 24th to the Pirates. We were ran upstairs, got on the phone with my agent, and got the news and got the call, and just kind of had that moment, kind of like on Saturday when I hit the home run. Like, it was just the coolest family moment ever to that point in my life. And then went downstairs and saw it on TV on the couch. Everyone went crazy and dogpiled me and freaked out. The draft is something you never forget. It's so cool to watch these people on screen see their lives change, and everyone's suited up. Some of these guys never worn a suit in their life, and they're on national TV finding out they now play for the Steelers or they play for the Cardinals. And I know what it's like to be in that position and to see other people get to have their dreams come true. It's really cool.
I could ask you who has the better hair, you or Bryce Harper. Do you is there a player in Major League Baseball, and this happens to almost every kid, somebody you really like as a player that you may face? Who's a guy that you've always loved watching?
A guy I've always loved watching is absolutely Derek Jeter. I've always cheered for him, and he's a tall, biracial, lanky shortstop who signed out of high school. That just kind of really spoke to me, you know.
Yeah.
But as far as people in the league now, I've gotten to play against Troy Tulowitzki in spring training. I loved watching him growing up. I'm so excited to play against Corey Seager tonight. He's an unbelievable shortstop.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Really good player. Seems like a great person. I've never met him, but I really admire his game. I just love watching shortstops, and I take pride in playing shortstop. And I mean, being in the
power.
Big leagues.
A lot of shortstops don't have power.
I know. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, nowadays, a lot of taller, more leverage guys are playing shortstop, so that's really cool and exciting to be a part of that next wave of people. But I mean, I'm just excited to go out and play against anyone. I made a really big splash, but there's so much more that I want to do. There's a million things I haven't done, and I'm just excited to continue to play well.
Bring your dad
shot.
Up here. I want your dad up. Come
Pops.
On, dad. Just come on up here. We got a minute left. I want your dad.
Jackie
your dad's,
Tucker.
Your
in
dad's
the house.
Name is
Jackie.
And you and Jackie, you watch the show every morning.
So yeah, in the off season, we eat breakfast and watch this show every day. I've made some money, lost some money on the Blazing 5 picks.
Please do not bet your salary on my football picks. Please
no,
do not.
I was rolling with you in the playoffs last year, though. Thank you. Rolling.
Dad,
yes.
Did you permit him to bet? Because I was smoking on the playoffs last year.
No, me and we watch. Yeah, you need to get in the mic.
Come over here, Dad. Get the mic. You can put the mic over to Dad.
Sorry.
It's okay. Just you can spread it out.
Bingo. Now we're in.
3-2-1.
No,
3-2-1.
We watch every day. Me and my friends watch every day. All my friends are blowing up my phone right now because I'm here. We watch. We listen. We love you guys. It's so cool for us to be here.
It's our thing. I make breakfast, and he does it before he works out. So I make his breakfast, and we watch you, and then he goes to work out.
You should be incredibly proud. What a kid. And by the way, what age did you think? We got about 30 seconds. Was there an age, 8, 9, 12, you're like, I may have a big leaguer?
I had 6 or 7, I think it was. He, you know, he's very talented, so he has an older brother that he followed around and played the game, so it was good.
Yeah. Wow, what a family, what a story. Congratulations.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Joy. Thank you. Appreciate
yeah,
you
welcome
guys.
To Pittsburgh.
Awesome. Way to go, Dad.
So much, Colin.
Dad and
so
son,
much.
Hit it out of the park. I'll get emotional. I love these stories in America.